Yeah, just in case any, let me ask you that. Wills? I need some glasses. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. I've had a bit of a rough day today, so I don't know how everything's going to come out. One thing about a preacher, you're just going to give it your best shot.
Yes, sir.
No matter how little that may be. Right. So I hope that, Brother Arn, I hope I haven't been a sideshow this week.
No way.
Gosh.
Nope.
I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to get people to feel sorry for me. I'm well blessed. Yeah. And I'll tell you something, friend, if you really want to know the truth, if God never answered another prayer for us, if God never let us give out another tract, if He never let us teach another Sunday school, if He never let us preach one more sermon the rest of our days, we could still live the rest of our life and shout in glory because of what He has done. Amen. So you just keep me on your prayer list. Keep praying. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't pity me. Just pray for me.
Amen.
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 God is still on the throne. And all things work together for good to them that love God and them who are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
So whatever we have to go through in life, it had to cross the desk of God first.
Yeah.
And so whatever He's allowing, He's got a reason for it.
Sure.
And the end result is to be for the glory of God. Secondly, for the benefit of others. And that's how I want my life to count. I want to be trying to help other people. Amen.
Amen.
In John chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus, can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
After these things, Jesus shewed Himself unto the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise shewed he Himself. Now count the number of men mentioned in this next verse. There were together Simon Peter, Simon Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other his disciples. How many men is that?
Seven.
Seven. I'm going to read something here. It's very significant.
More than one.
Has to do with this message. The next verse, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. That does not mean that he was going to take a Saturday and go down to the lake and do some bass fishing. No, this is his declaration of resignation. He's leaving the ministry. He has been with Jesus for 3.5 years. The Lord has taught him, trained him and the other disciples. Because after his passion, he's going to ascend back to heaven. And he's going to give these men not a city to conquer for Christ, not just one country, but the world. He will say to them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, never preach it. Peter's been through the University of Jesus. Well, it's been mentioned earlier this week on the night of his passion when Jesus told all the disciples that they would they would forsake him, deny him. Peter said, not me, Lord. If I have to die with thee, I will not deny thee. Two times already since the resurrection of Christ, he's appeared to the disciples. But Peter has not been reclaimed yet. And Peter is saying, I'm finished. After what I did, God is never going to be able to use me. There may be somebody here tonight. There was a time when you were walking close to the Lord, being used of God. Things happened, you fell away. The devil has convinced you that you could never be used. That was evidently Peter's thinking. He said, I go fishing. What do I mean? And then he's going back to his trade before Jesus saved him and called him. Now remember this, Christian. If you fall, if you ever go down, you never go alone. You always take others with you. And six other of those disciples said, well, Peter, if you're quitting, we're quitting. Peter, if you're going back on God, we're going back on God. If you're going to go back to the old life, we're going back to the old life. They were going to quit. They were going to follow Peter's example. You know, you and I, we got people following us. We make the wrong step, they're going to make the wrong step. If we make the wrong turn, they're going to make the wrong turn. If they go back on God, you'll go back on God. Ruin your life and your testimony. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto him, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find it. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him for his nakedness, and then cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, fish laid thereon. And bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net, the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art there, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus cometh and taking bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had died, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. Wonder why he asked him three times. But that had something to do with the threefold denial that Peter made the night of the Passion. He saith unto him the third time, Son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Well, it always gets us in a lot of trouble, doesn't it? But what about that fellow over there? What about that fellow over there? Always comparing ourselves by ourselves and with ourselves and to ourselves. You know what Jesus said to him? Pete, that's none of your business. You get that in Greek? He saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I often say this, if God put something in the Bible, he put it in there not just for the people of that particular dispensation, that particular time. If he put it in the Bible, it's a message in there for every person that reads it. So the truth of the matter is, we can personalize this tonight. We can read this, and in a real sense of the word, we find Jesus saying to you and me, lovest thou me. I want to talk to you tonight long about that, along that line. Lovest thou me. I want to make four statements about that question that he not only asked Peter, but he's asking you and me. Lovest thou me? First of all, it's a simple question. Lawyer asked Jesus a question. He was trying to trip him up, but he asked him a question in Matthew 22. He said, what is the first and great commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, with all thy strength. That's a pretty simple question. I ask you tonight, do you love Jesus? Everybody under this tent would say yes. To what degree do you love Jesus? You see, there are many Christians that Jesus plays a predominant role in their life. But he didn't want to be predominant. Colossians says he's to be preeminent. And there's a big difference. Christian, do you love Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? It's a simple question. Huh? It's a searching question. Because before I say to Jesus, Lord, I love you with all of my heart, I better do a little examining. I better make sure I'm not shooting my mouth off.
Yeah.
I better make sure that I'm giving a testimony that's not really true. You know, he said this. He said, why callest me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He said in another place, this people draw nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where's your heart in all this? I had no evangelist friend. I had three friends. He's in heaven now. He used to say, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart.
Amen.
Huh? I'm not asking you what you would say with your lips, that you love the Lord Jesus. What do you say from your heart? Before I say, Lord, I love you with all of my heart, I better make sure it's true. I better make sure that I'm just not a hypocrite. This people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I don't want that in my life. I can honestly testify tonight. I want to love Jesus with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength. I gave you a verse last night that is a definite proof text that we can love Him with all of our heart. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. So He's put His love in us, the love He has for us, so we can love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Lovest thou me, Christian? Lovest thou me? It's a simple question. It's a searching question. It's a separating question. He said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? More than these what? He didn't say. More than these fish and bread? That's it. More than your friends? That's it. Lovest thou me more than these? I don't know why he asked that question that way. Not specify what or who we're supposed to love. I think it's because he wants us to search our heart. See, I believe I've met some men, Brother Fred, that love their ministry more than they love God. That's what happened at that church at Ephesus. That first letter, the seven letters to the churches in Asia Minor in Revelation 2. He commends this church. They were doctrinally sound. They were busy, you know, serving. But you know what he said to them? He said, but I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You're busy, but you got the wrong motive. You know what he said to him? He said, if you don't repent and get this straightened out, I'm going to remove your candlestick. You know what that means? That means he's going to stay and pick a bottle on that church and shut that church down. Because all they had was tradition and religion. Even though their doctrine was sound, they were not loving the Lord and doing what they were doing for His honor and for His glory. See, it's a separating question. Lovest thou me more than these? I believe I've known some men that love their business more than they love their family. I know some mothers that love their children, more than they love the Lord. Huh? What do you love? You see, Jesus said, whatever you love, that's what you're going to worship. And whatever it is you worship, that's who you're going to serve. It's a separating question. Lovest thou me more than thee? Do you love Jesus more than you love money? Do you love Jesus more than you do your favorite forms of entertainment? Huh? It's a separating question. Lovest thou me more than these? It's a simple question. It's a searching question. It's a separating question. But it's a sustaining question. Peter said, "Dear Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Well, feed my sheep." Now, Peter was a Jew, but he'd have made a dandy Baptist. Most of the time, he opened his mouth just to change feet. So he's looking around, so he says, well, what about him? Because Jesus said, follow me. Peter said, well, what about him? What about John? What's your will for his life? For his life? Jesus said, "It's none of your business." On my 35th birthday, I was standing in the mirror shaving. Well, I wasn't really standing in the mirror; I was in front of me. And it was on April the 23rd. No, April the 13th. 35th birthday, and the clock just turned over 6:14 a.m. That's the moment my mother said I was born. So I looked at that and I said, well, now I'm 35. Well, if God gives me 70, which is 70, I've just reached the apex, the high point of my life as far as years concerned. And I'm already starting down the other side. I'm glad I was wrong that day, because I'm 73 now. I'd been gone 3 years ago. And I thought about my life and my ministry, and I made two decisions that morning, thinking my life was half over. Number one, I am not going to be envious or jealous of what God does for any other brother or sister thing. You know, the Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. Did you know that it's easier to weep with those that weep than it is to rejoice with those that rejoice? A good number of years ago, a friend of ours gave me a Lincoln Town Car. I was visiting another friend and his wife, preacher friend and his wife. And they come out to meet us, and he saw my car, and he made a remark about it. I said, you know, I said, a businessman friend gave me that car. Hallelujah. That preacher's wife spoke up and said, how come nobody ever gives us a Lincoln Town car? See, she couldn't rejoice with those that rejoice. Now, if I'd have said to the preacher, listen, I really need for you to pray for me because I got cancer and I only got 3 months to live, she'd have been brokenhearted. She'd prayed. She'd wanted to help me. She would weep with those that weep, but she couldn't rejoice with those that rejoice. So I just made a decision. Not heaven. I am not going to be envious or jealous of what God does for anybody and everybody else. If God blesses them, I'm going to rejoice.
Amen.
If there are preachers out there that build bigger churches than me, I'm not going to be envious or jealous of them. I'm going to rejoice. Amen.
Amen.
And I made another decision. I'm not going to be intimidated by anybody. Nobody is going to try to push me into a corner. Nobody is going to try to get me to fire and to follow and bow down to the leadership of the convention and the fellowship. I just met one, I'm just going to be a maverick the rest of my life. Well, don't you think we ought to be doing what so-and-so's doing? No, God hadn't told me. I'm not going to do it just because so-and-so's doing it. You getting this?
Uh-huh.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
See, he said this to Peter. He said, lovest thou me? And Peter said, yes, Lord. He's my Lord. He said, you follow me. Don't you worry. Don't you be jealous. Don't you be envious. Don't you worry about what God does for anybody else. You just follow me. If we keep him first in our life, and we maintain that close communion and fellowship, that love life with the Lord Jesus, you know what's going to happen? We're going to stay in love with him.
Amen.
We'll follow him. The rest of our days. If we love him.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Archer, come take your invitation, please. Did he hear me? Would you come take the invitation? And I just ask you tonight, who do you love supremely?